number five.
Tattersall Distilling announced yesterday that it is opening a destination distillery and a second production facility this fall, this time in River Falls, Wisconsin. They are citing...
Wait, where?
River Falls, Wisconsin.
Not Minnesota?
Not Minnesota. In fact...
This is a Minnesota distillery.
Yep.
And they're opening up... okay.
In Wisconsin.
That's not good.
In fact, when they made this announcement, they cited Minnesota's restrictive liquor laws.
Yeah... They sure are.
Yeah.
that's a thing.
They sure are restrictive. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, you've got some familiarity with this story. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. So tell us a little bit about what happened here with Tattersall.
Sure. Well, of course, they're a client of mine, and we've been, you know, Tattersall is probably, I think nobody would disagree, is the crown jewel of our micro distilleries. I mean, they've done a fabulous job growing that business and that brand, and they're distributed nationwide. And
they make some tasty booze. You know,
they do, yeah, and they got some great bottled cocktails and whatnot. And so Minnesota's laws have a limit for how much you can produce before you can't have a cocktail room, specifically, you know, breweries of tap rooms. And Tattersall, you could see where their growth was going, and they were going to be bumping up against this cap. If it weren't for COVID, they would have hit it last year, and they're probably going to hit it at some point this year. And they have been, you know, over at the Capitol lobbying the legislature for several years and multiple sessions to try to get that law changed so you can bump up the production cap. And the legislatures, particularly the Senate Commerce Committee, will not consider any change. And as a result, they're going to Wisconsin.
Who's in charge of that committee?
Gary Dames.
Okay. This is basically what's happening here is you've got Tattersall. They have a cocktail room in Minneapolis, correct?
Yep.
And they've continued to grow. They've continued to expand, and they're growing so much that they have to now choose whether or not they want to keep their cocktail room or continue to grow. They chose continue to grow, so now they have to leave the state and open up a facility in Wisconsin so that they don't violate Minnesota's laws and be forbidden from having their cocktail room.
That's exactly right.
And that kind of
exactly
sum it up.
Going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it should, you know, there were conversations even this new session about whether or not, or even towards the end of last year, if there was any chance that they could get this done. And this is after... They had spent, you know, in the early months of COVID, shutting down their entire production to make hand sanitizer so that all the hospitals and clinics and everybody out there
right.
had hand sanitizer. You'd think there'd be kind of a thank you for that, but nope, that wasn't forthcoming, so that's the end of it. It's sad, and I can tell you they're not going to be the last one. I have several clients that are getting frustrated with the lack of progress in reforming our liquor laws, which are the worst in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good. And Wisconsin, you can pretty much do anything. And Minnesota cannot sit here with all these restrictive liquor laws when there's a state, you know, right to the east that is much more welcome, much more permissive when it comes to manufacturers. And those are the businesses that are creating the jobs right now. And so this is going to mean lost jobs, lost tax revenue for the state, all because our legislature will not say no to special interests and do what's right.
If this actually made it to the floor of the legislature, do you think it would pass right now? I mean, is it a really an instance where a majority of legislators are genuinely opposed to this, or is this just an instance of where you got a handful of people that sit on positions of influence in committees that are perhaps, you know, benefiting from the status quo as it is, or are just kind of lazy and don't really feel like taking up liquor laws, and that's what's preventing it from actually getting a full vote?
Yeah, Senator Dames is definitely a roadblock. These bills start with Commerce Committee,
mm-hmm.
and if he's saying no liquor bills,
that's it.
That's it.
Right. Like one guy can decide. One senator can decide whether or not these bills will get a vote.
Right.
But if they did get a vote, I mean, I feel like, and I don't know for sure, and I don't know if anybody's actually gone and done the count or anything, but if they actually did get a vote, they would pass, I think, and Governor Walz would sign them into law.
No question.
Wow. Yeah. But one guy, because he's either lazy or because he's just benefiting from the status quo, and the status quo being that three-tier distribution system where you've got, you know, a lot of union influence and a lot of people that make a lot of money but don't necessarily have any consumer benefit or benefit to the manufacturer of these products that are keeping things from progressing and keeping our liquor laws from being updated.
Right, exactly. I mean, this is largely the influence of the wholesalers and the Teamsters. You know, I know that, you know, my good friend Tony Chesek, who's the executive director of MLBA, he gets a lot of, and his organization gets a lot of flack for this, but this is not the retailers are not the ones blocking this stuff. This is the wholesalers that insist on, they don't want more, they don't want manufacturers distributing more liquor on premise or selling off premise, because these guys can't sell, you know, bottles like other states can. They'll be able to sell bigger bottles and more bottles in Wisconsin directly from the distillery. The wholesalers don't want this because it denies them their cut. And that's like the worst thing you can possibly do. You know, the worst liquor law violation in this state is to deny a wholesaler their cut of the sales. And so they just put their thumb down and keep it going.
Meanwhile, if you actually went out there and asked consumers and polled consumers, you know, I'm sure a lot of them would be more than happy. They would love for the opportunity to buy these products directly from the people that are making them. You know, if my favorite beer is, say, Lupine out in Delano, you know, I would love to be able to buy as much product as I can directly from their brewery, directly from their tap room. I'd love to be able to go in there and buy a 6-pack or a 12-pack and take it home for the weekend, but I can't. I could go there and I can buy crowlers and I can drink, you know, individual beers, but if I want to take home a 6-pack, I have to leave their establishment, go to a liquor store, buy it there, and then take it home. And the only reason that law is in existence so that the people that take it from their establishment to that liquor store get their cut.
Exactly right. And we're in the minority of, and we're, other states aren't like that.
No, they're not.
It's just not the way it is.
No, they're not.
It's a protectionist racket, and it needs to end. There's still going to be a need for, even if you let breweries sell 4-packs and 6-packs, even if you let distilleries sell larger bottles, there is still going to be a need for wholesalers and liquor stores, and we're gonna end up losing, more breweries, more distilleries to neighboring states if we continue to play this game.